Glory be to God. And that is how these three works of grace were restored. After 3 days. Praise Master Jesus. And we have different categories of worshippers that fall under this category. I say salvation by assumption. John the Baptist, Jesus Christ, in John chapter 4, went to a woman, a Samaritan woman, by the well. And in verse 22, there is a statement he made there. When the woman was arguing, seeing a Jew was asking her, give me water. And then when she discovered saying a Jew, then it started the normal discussion, that argument that normally happened between Catholics and the Protestants. We are the first church. All of you will come back to us. The Catholic, they talk. And then the Pentecostal man said, we speak in tongue. We believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. And then the Catholics are saying, you must come to the Vatican, Pope. He is the one that took over from St. Peter. Then Pentecostal is saying, a lie. Peter, no rich room. And they were arguing. They are used to such arguments between the Samaritans and the Jews. The Samaritans say, we worship on that mountain. The Jews say, lie, it's in that temple in Jerusalem that true worshippers will worship. And then they are arguing, she saw a Jew. Verse 22, John chapter 4. This was the reply of Jesus to her. This was the reply. John chapter 4, verse 22. He said, you worship, you know not what. You are worshiping what you don't even know. We know what we worship. He said, for salvation is of the Jews. But that statement, where he says, you are worshiping God, oh, yes, but you are worshiping what you don't even know anything at all about. And so many Christians today, you are worshiping a Jesus that you know nothing about. Apostle Paul went somewhere in Acts chapter 17. Hallelujah. And he went to that city where they had all manner of gods. The God of this, the God of that. The God of fertility, the God of the sun, the God of the night, the God of water, the God of harvest, the God of this, the God of plenty everywhere. Then he found, and all of them have altars that were raised to them. Verse 23. For as I passed by, I beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription. To the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. They know all other gods, but there is another God that exists. They know he exists, so, but they don't know how to worship him, so, but they still raise an altar to him. And they call him to the unknown God. And Jesus Christ came to other religions, worshipping all their manner of God. He says in John 14 verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. So he told that woman at the well, the true worshippers now, they will worship in choosing. They will worship in Brother Assembly Church. No, why should we redeem? You are not answering me because you don't know. No. They worship in deeper life. Where would they worship? Where did he say they will worship? See, people don't read Bible. That's why they kill themselves and pride about the church they belong. Some of you pride that you belong to Bride Assembly. Or no to you, some of you don't even belong to the Bride of Jesus Christ. So why will it profit you if you belong to the Bride Assembly Church in Jesha, Lagos, and you don't belong to the universal body called the Bride of Jesus Christ? Praise the Lord. True worshippers. Now, they worship God in spirit and in truth. Therefore, if you want God to accept your worship, make sure you are in the truth. And make sure you are worshiping Him in the spirit. Because the letter killeth. But the spirit does what? Give a life. The Bible says so. Without the spirit, you can never understand the word. Praise the Lord. So the first category of people I see here, they are those unbelievers, other religions of the world that worship God, but God is not with them. Amen. Okay, no, the first one is God. They worship God, but God is not with them, and they don't know it.
Yes.
They are worshiping God, but they don't know that God is not with them. Because to worship God outside of Jesus, you are worshiping in vain. Therefore, they are receiving salvation by assumption. Because everyone believes he's worshiping the true God. The Buddhists, the Muslims, Ekanka, great movement, Hare Krishna, Olumba Olumba. Who again? Hallelujah. Guru Maharaj. And all of them. The Hindus. And all those world religions. Until some of them have become monks. Separated totally from the world. So zealous. Some of them pray 5 times in a day. Here it's only 21 days. They are all mandatory 30 days of fasting. Some, like they live in the bush. They don't even come to town. Serving God. But because they are serving God without Christ in it, they are serving God and they don't know that God is not with them. Then we have the Christians. But they are serving God. But Christ is not with them. Christ is their Savior. They confess to be their Savior. But it's not with them and they don't know it. They don't know it. They profess Christianity, yet Christ is not with them. And the pathetic thing there is that they don't know that Christ is not with them. Therefore, they are worshiping God by assumption. They are assuming that Christ is with them, but Christ is not there. That's why we see Revelation chapter 3. Can we read from verse 17? Concerning this age that we are living in, the Laodicean church age. Revelation chapter 3, verse 17 and verse 18. This is the way the Spirit looked at this age. Because thou sayest in this age, I am rich. This is the church. He's talking to the church in this age. And increase with goods. And have need of nothing. You see? And knowest not, as far as God is looking at you, with all your five big churches, universities, big church programs, large auditorium, this is how God is looking at you. Hallelujah. You have need of nothing, that is what you are saying, and you know not that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Kaya. Anytime I look at this age, I look at Israel in the wilderness in Psalm 106, verse 13 to 15. Hallelujah. Psalm 106, verse 13. 14 and 15. The history
of Israel in the wilderness, as narrated by the psalmist. He said they soon forgot his works, God's works. They waited not for God's counsel, for his counsel. Verse 14. But what did they do instead? They lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. Verse 15. And what happened? And he gave them their request. Whatever they needed, God gave them, but sent leanness into their soul. Whatever they needed in the wilderness, he gave them. Manna from heaven was falling, yafu yafu. But their spiritual life was dry, dead. There is the material prosperity, and there is the prosperity of the soul. And this is the age that there is leanness of the soul. So much attention is given to material acquisition to the detriment of the prosperity of the soul in this age. Praise the Lord. Ye shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And they are saying they are men of God. Christian leaders. And when you see them stand at the altar, they look like pop stars. Christian leaders, see their haircuts. Christian leaders with BBB churches. Some of them, grandfathers. See what they are doing to their head. See the hairstyle they make. Sir, whether you like it or not, you will grow old. They want to remain young. You will grow old, Papa. For somebody who is leader of a church to dress like that, you know there is something wrong with the spirit man. The word of God is no more in him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There must be change. This is a season of change. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. What is the solution to this group of people? The Bible says something in verse 18, Revelation chapter 3. Verse 18, this is the solution the Spirit gave to this age. Verse 18, he said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that is not corrupted gold, gold that has been purified, that thou mayest be rich. And he's talking about deity, divinity, the divine nature of God. And white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thy shame of thy nakedness do not appear. What are you to do again? And anoint thine eyes. I went on the visit revelation. With eyes, sir, that thou mayest see. Because you can't live a Christian life beyond your level of revelation. You need a touch in your eye that you may see. Praise the Lord. The third category are those that have Christ among them, but they reject him. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Matthew chapter 12. Listen very well. We are reading it up to verse 42. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we will see a sign from thee. Who do you say you are? Let us see a sign from thee. Listen carefully. Verse 40. But he answered and said unto them, verse 39,
an evil
and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given to thee, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas, listen, oh, this is the sign. Listen to the sign. Because sometimes we read this scripture very surfacely. See something I caught there. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Verse 41. He said, the men of Nineveh, that is where I got the understanding of verse 40, from verse 41. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Again, the queen of the south, what's her name? Sheba, shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. So let's understand what he meant now. Listen. It was not because Jonah. It was not because Jonah was in the whale's belly for 3 days that brought repentance to the city of Nineveh. He mentioned Jonah. As this is the sign. This is the sign. This is the sign. The sign is the sign of Jonah. Hallelujah. Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days. He said Christ also will be in the belly of the earth. Will be under the earth for 3 days. Amen. When Jonah resurrected, hallelujah, he brought repentance. The emphasis is the resurrection of Jonah, what it produced. It produced repentance for the whole city. Now, a greater than Jonah is here. He resurrected, and you will not repent. So Nineveh will stand as judgment against this generation. The Queen of Sheba traveled from far distance just to come and hear wisdom. To hear wisdom from Solomon, a man, and yet a greater than Solomon is here. Why? The wisdom of Solomon did not produce repentance or salvation for any human being. But the wisdom of Christ, the Bible says, Christ is the wisdom of God and the power of God. His wisdom is unto salvation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And people are joking with it. Somebody, a man from far, far east, months they travel with their caravan just to come and hear a wisdom. And in this age, this grace age, they are toying with it. Nobody is taking what Christ is saying seriously. These two groups of people, the queen and the city of Nineveh, he said they will stand in judgment against this generation. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because the same way Jews rejected the prophet, they didn't know they were rejecting God. God was with them through his prophet. For God has made the prophet his mouthpiece. The word of the Lord always comes to the prophet. It comes to the prophet, to the people. And when I say prophet, I don't mean the fivefold prophet. I'm not talking about prophet Igbo, prophet Sunday, prophet Joseph. No, not this type of prophet. I mean, not this level of prophet. We're talking about dispensational prophet. The voice of God in every generation. He becomes the light bearer, the standard bearer for the world, for that age. To tell the people the mind of God. And suddenly Israel said, we don't want it. We want a king. We want a king. And God told Samuel, when Samuel was lamenting, he said, it's not you they have rejected, it's me they have rejected. Because you are my prophet, you are my voice. They don't want to hear me anymore. They now want it their own way. Is that not what Christianity has been reduced to today? The denomination rejected Christ, the word, and hold on to their creeds and dogmas. Yes, now, because churches today, amen, hallelujah, you know better than I, because many of you came from there. God helped me. I never belonged to any denomination. Since I gave my life to Christ, I just came straight into the present truth. I am a very serious product of grace, uncontaminated by any denominational teachings. I came fresh into the present truth. And therefore, I am able to judge what is happening outside by where I was born. I was born from the word. Anything contrary to the word flashes against me. When you do anything that is contrary to the word, I will see it immediately. Why? Because I was born through the word. I'm a preacher, not produced by any man. Amen. You know, ironically, if you ask Pastor Moses, who is your mentor? Do you know I don't have? It's very interesting. Pastor Moses, who ordained you? Do you know no man ordained me? But I am ordaining others. Amen. Who ordained Apostle Paul? The same one that ordained Apostle Paul that ordained me. When God wants to make a move, he knows who to select. So I don't have any hangover. It's nothing, no hangover. And by nature, I know they do copy. So I'm never going to copy anything from Redeemer and put it here. Because you must explain everything I see before I do it. I must understand why you are doing it before I do it. Because I have not seen where I can justify scripturally where my wife can sit down at the altar. Because she's my wife. If I become governor, she can follow me. My chairman of my company, she can follow me and sit with me. Chairman local government, I can be there with her. But in this altar, I didn't find it in the Bible. And the Bible says we should not ordain women. So I am not going to ordain my wife because I see big bishops and archbishops ordaining their wives. I won't do that because of my origin. Praise the Lord. You are either a Christian or you are not, because I have a standard of judging who a Christian is. Christianity is not a social gathering. Church is not a social gathering. It's not. It's a serious gathering. It's a gathering of people, of like-minded people. One faith, one baptism, one love, one God. Hallelujah. And two cannot work together except they agree. And that's why when I see you in this church and you don't believe what we are preaching and yet you are coming here, I am telling you, I become suspicious of who you are. No, it's true now. Because you come here and you don't agree with what we are doing. We are going right, you are going left, yet you remain here.
That means you are here on assignment.
So you become suspicious. Look at your neighbor, whether he's one of the suspects.
The person, when they preach like this, you know he's not preaching looking for members. Oh, I'm looking for God's children. Oh, that we can come together in unity. In unity. There's power in unity. There's power in unity.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. They rejected God, sent us a prophet in this age.
Who are those that rejected him?
They rejected is the denominations.
Whether they like it or not, they don't like to hear this at all. You can never defeat God's purpose. They thought that they have finished Jesus Christ.
They thought that he resurrected.
They thought they have finished the entire message. With all the nonsense they have written about the ministry of William Branham.
But in this age, that ministry has resurrected.
They are hearing it again.
With the same medium. With the same
medium.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. And we are unstoppable. Unstoppable. They rejected him. They call him all manner of names. Go into the internet. See what the enemies are writing concerning him.
All manner of things.
See?
They wrote all manner of things. If you say somebody is a thief, somebody is a thief. Before I believe that he's a thief, you must show me what he stole.
Am I correct?
That is the problem with Christianity. Once your pastor tells you anything, this thing is bad. Don't go near it.
Since it is pastor that has spoken, you won't even touch it. You won't even look at it. Who? That is my pastor. He said, William Branham is in error.
Won't you go and read and find out what the error is?
He said, the man say he is Elijah. He said, the man say he is the end time this. They said, the man say, and then he began to go into error.
What is the error? The error is that he said, you should not ordain your wives. That is the error. The error is that it is wrong for women to wear that pertaining to a man. What is the error? The error is that he says speaking in tongues is not the evidence of the Holy Ghost. What is the error? That it is wrong to have headquarters and have branches and employing people. He said it is wrong. That is the error they say he made. You see?
Praise the Lord.
He said, it is wrong for a man of God to leave the gospel and be chasing money. And he said, it is wrong, according to the scripture, for a man to marry, for a Christian man to marry more than one wife. For a pastor, for that matter. He said, it is wrong. He said, it is wrong for businessmen to be behind the pulpit. How do you think that the denominational people who own banks and schools, who own estates, who own oil companies, who own this and that, to agree with that man?
And they are pastors. He said it is wrong for a man to answer Reverend Doctor. And then he told us, you say, you must be born again. The Bible says so. He said, he told us why you must be born again, because you have been corrupted by what happened in the Garden of Eden.
They say it is apple that was eaten in the Garden of Eden. The man say, lie, it is not apple they ate. And he proved it in the scripture that it was fornication between that serpent and the Eve.
They say, hey,
the one that finished all of them is, he said, there is no description of the Godhead as three persons.
in one God. He proved it in the scripture. It is one God in three offices, not three persons in one God. Scripture law. He said his wrong.
And he stood, he said, thus said the Lord, I am the voice of God to this generation. They turn it down. When they turn it down, they held into man-made doctrines.
And that is where they are today.
They think that God is with them, but he has departed from them, and they don't know it.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why the Spirit spoke in the days of William Branham, said, Ichabod is written against the denomination.
They rejected John the Baptist and killed him.
They slaughtered John the Baptist because he had thus said the Lord. Hallelujah. And yet, the Bible says, the same Pharisees asked him, what shall we do that we might do the works of God? What did he say? John chapter 6, verse 28 and verse 29. John chapter 6, verse 28 and verse 29. What did he say? They said unto him, what shall we do that we might walk the works of God? And the same question before everyone today, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he had sent. And he's always sending someone to his people. He's always sending someone to his people. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's always sending someone to his people.
Another category of people. Christ is among them, but he is not known.
Thank you. Our brother preached a message entitled Jesus of the Corner. Imagine that woman at the well. She was there discussing with the Messiah. And she didn't know that it was the Messiah. There are so many of you here, the genuine anointing, a genuine anointing of the Holy Ghost that you receive. And you don't know, it is Christ around you. How do I know? The life that you live does not reflect that you have acknowledged him. And yet, it's a genuine gift. And you are a genuine seed of God. You are a genuine seed, that's why he has come to you. That woman at the well was a seed of God. And as he was speaking, something touched her heart. And she asked, they tell us, the Messiah shall come. When he comes, he'll be telling us so many things. He'll be telling us that. And Jesus said, that Messiah, I am he. Amen.
May somebody react like that woman reacted.
And as soon as he said, I am he, that Messiah, she forgot the well. The water she came to fetch, she ran to town. That is the first evangelist. That is the first woman evangelist in the Bible. Take note, it's not Jesus that sent her. Eh? Not Jesus sent her more.
Because I have had a woman preacher citing that as the first evangelist. Did Jesus say, go to town and tell them I am he? Instead, throughout, he will tell his disciples, say, don't tell them who I am. Don't tell them yet. Don't tell them until I am risen. Don't spoil show. Don't spoil show. This woman went on her own. Woman preacher, you are on your own. God didn't send you. But you have caught the revelation, though. You know who Jesus is now. Hey, hold your peace. You are not ordained to go to town. Wait until you be endued with power. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, then he will set his church in order.
Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
on the road to Emmaus.
Hey, glory be to God. In Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Verse 13. Very interesting story. And behold, two of them, after Christ had resurrected, went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. About the resurrection of Jesus, what people are talking in town. Some say no resurrection, some say this, some say this. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. He went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. But he was going with them. But he closed their eyes so that they will not know that he is around. So that you will hear what they are saying and what they are doing. There is one eye that is watching you now. See whether you understand what is happening now in this end time or not. Everything is written in the Bible. You are still saying, they say. Scriptures have been fulfilled before your eyes. They say. And Jesus was with them and they didn't know. Why? Their eyes were holding that they should not know him. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And then they were telling all the stories, and then in verse 25, They were still gisting. Some say, his disciples, oh! They went, the sepulchre is empty. They say, then verse 25, then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, he went to the Old Testament and all the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Up to now, he never tell them who he be. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them in the evening, this is how they now got to know him. He took bread and blessed it and broke and gave to them, and their eyes were open. And they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. What did he do for their eyes to be open? He did something. Remember, they were his disciples. The last supper he had with them before he went to the cross, there was a particular way he broke the bread that day. And as he broke that bread, he did what he was used to doing with them. Hallelujah. He had a special way of breaking the bread. Church, the bride of Jesus Christ identifies Christ through his word. It is not miracle he used that their eyes were open. He break bread. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed to his chosen people. Call it commander. With his manna he nothing and supplies our every need. Oh, this sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Hallelujah. Oh, come on time. Come on, come on. You may feast on Jesus' table all the time. You may feast on
The disciples came to land. The disciples came to land.
The disciples came to land. Cause obeying Christ's command. For the master called to them, commander.
Oh, yes.
There they found their heart desire. Bread of fish upon the fire. Thus it satisfies the hungry every time. Hallelujah. Commander, the master called commander. You make me start Jesus. Double our time. You take a multitude, turn the water into wine. To the holy calling now, come and come.
Hallelujah. In all my Christian life, the thing that excites me since I gave my life to Christ is to hear somebody explaining scripture. Whether a man or woman they preach, oh, provided you are tearing down this scripture, that is my most exciting moment of the day. When you can let me understand something from the scripture. I was sharing with my wife, I also shared with Pastor Francis this morning. I said, look. When God gave me the revelation of the mystery of the Gentile salvation, that night as I was studying, He made me to understand that scripture in Romans chapter 11. I think verse 25 or so, where He said that the original branch was cut off from the vine. And you, who were wild by nature, was grafted in, He said, contrary to nature. That was where the thing hit me. Up till this morning, I tapped my wife. I said, see, God talked to me. God's plan for salvation, when He reveals it to you, there's something, and then you find yourself right in the center of that plan. It's very exciting. There's a boldness and confidence. That is what is giving me confidence to speak the way I'm speaking. I know where I stand. It's a revelation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He break the bread. So, how do you know where Jesus is? Is where His word is preached. How can you gather people, thousands of people, from morning to night? From morning to night. And all you are doing is miracles, signs and wonders. They sit down and they are looking at like a cinema. Carry one person. Carry two people. Everybody else is sitting down. You are demonstrating power. With your leg, with your hand, they are clapping hands. Sitting down there with their painted faces. Sitting down there with their naked bodies. And you are telling them you are anointed, Jesus is here. And then you are doing all the demonstration of power. And then at the end, from morning to night, they take off. All they will remember they went to church for is, they remember how one demon was talking through one sister. They remember how anointed the man of God is. How does Jesus look like? They know nothing about it. Nothing was spoken there for a sinner to repent and give his life to Christ. That is not the church of Jesus Christ. When He break bread, then they knew that this was Jesus. The same way. When the Bible is open for you, because it takes only God to grant understanding. believe not,
he will be there. You won't even know he is there.
Praise Master Jesus.